SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two. Busy Monday, holiday Monday. Good racing action again today. It's been a busy three-day weekend already. It started with the Stronach 5 action on Friday, week two. Johnny and I were looking at it, and of course, things got kind of off the turf at Laurel. They've had rough weather for turf racing, particularly in Maryland. New York today, there's a couple of decisions that came out. We'll give those to you in a minute. But first, we'll say good morning, Johnny D.
Stevie!
Hey.
You survived that wonderful game yesterday?
Yeah, that was more of the disconcerting same, but I'm unfettered. I have every confidence that as all the working parts come back and as Wentz works the rust, gets the rust off, they'll be fine. It's not as if anybody's 5-0 in the division.
Well, I certainly appreciate watching Carson Wentz play football because he's a tremendous football player and he's a good citizen on top of it. You can bang the rust off of him, but I think that secondary is going to need more than a rust banging. I think that secondary may need an overhaul instead of a rust banging.
It could be. Yeah, no, some of it also starts with pressure up front. There's a lot. Yeah, there's a few things get everybody healthy. Get all the working parts in there. I'll tell you who they miss that I've been screaming about the Brian Westbrook of his era. Corey Clement is a vital tool in there, and he has been greatly missed. And I'm telling you, you get him back healthy, and a lot of things will fall into place.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also think that they're missing a couple guys from the coaching staff that I think had a great deal of influence.
You got to work through that.
Filippo, that's right. And then also Frank Reich. I think those two guys were a great influence with the offense. We'll see. As you said, you're unfettered. I'm going to remember that word, unfettered, as we move forward.
Well, we were fettered. We were tar and fettered when it came to the Stronach 5 on Friday. Let's start there before we dive into the count on you for the 5 recap.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much of a recap. I hate to say that, but things went pretty much according to Hoyle. I mean, we lost two races, came off the turf at Laurel. Certainly that was unfortunate. You had the horses paid $460. The second leg from Gulfstream paid $12. You had $580 from Laurel, $440 from Laurel, and $5 from Santa Anita. So where was the difficulty? Looking at it beforehand, obviously, looking at it on the turf and the handicap, originally, it looked like it was pretty challenging. But when the dust settled, the payoff, $1,161 for those winners I just mentioned, that's, you know what that is? That's the power of a 12% takeout. That's what that is. Because, I mean, that sequence of winners for a dollar pick five should not have paid anywhere near $1,161. But that 12% takeout, I mean, players don't, normally we don't notice takeout. I think it's become pretty clear. When people say, well, players don't care about it, it's not that we don't care about it. It's that you know, there's nothing we can really do about it. We can boycott or all these wild things, but we don't really notice it until a bet like this comes along where you take a look at it and you see what it can pay with low takeout. And that's a generous payoff. 74 winners, just under 100,000 overall into the wager. So that's a juicy payoff. Anyway, we'll get back. And I think this week we had a couple of, extenuating circumstances besides the ninth race and 10th race coming off the turf at Laurel. Keeneland opened on Friday, which added spice to what would be a usual run-of-the-mill Friday. Keeneland's opening added spice. And then you also had, at Belmont, you had a pick six carryover and a pick five carryover, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
So there really was a lot of noise going on this Friday. When Friday afternoon is usually kind of a quiet time where if you're working, you're kind of looking for a little action maybe late in the afternoon. And this one started in the 5 o'clock time frame, which was kind of nice. But there was a lot of other stuff going on, and it was all good. So I think that kind of contributed to a less than stellar pool performance. But still, when it pays $1,100 and there's one winner at $12 and the rest are under $6, two of them under $5, I mean, that is, you got to go back and play that bet again because there's value in that wager. A 12% takeout, there's value there. So I'm going to keep playing it.
Well, and one of the other things they've been doing that's nice is getting it posted early in the week. By tomorrow, we'll have, and in fact, this week, actually, you might even have the cards as early as today, given some of the tracks that are running. So you have time to structure an approach. Obviously, the off the turf at Laurel, and it's funny.
It's aggravating.
Well, it was, it's aggravating because what's gone on here has been, you know, despite forecasts where you look ahead, you know, for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and it looks clear from here to New York down, and then yet it still rains. I mean, again today where it's raining here for like the fifth straight day. I mean, it's been incessant.
Yeah. Now you know I'm just outside of Philly, which is quite a ways from you. And I know what Philly weather is going to be for the, you know, I'm handicapping it on, I don't know, I guess I finally dug into it maybe Thursday or Wednesday or Thursday. And I know what Philly, what the forecast is. Maryland is like 2 hours from, you know, two and a half. I mean, it's not that far. and I knew that it was clear, it was going to be clear, but yet they got drenched.
Yep.
So, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and we've had to battle through this all summer. I mean, Belmont is unbelievable. The races have come off the turf. And even Saturday, Sunday, the last race, coming off the turf because what the jocks said, the turf was, I don't know, coming up with beneath the horse's hooves and was too loose. And so they took the last race off the turf. This has been, you know, and look, horse players out there, don't feel like you're going to complain about it because the racetracks do not want to take races off the turf. They really would like to leave everything on the turf because the races handle more money, and so they make more money, and really it's not something they want to do at all. So, you know, whenever they do it, it's for safety reasons. Or it's because the turf course is getting chewed up and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to keep running on it if it's soggy. They really don't want to do this. It's not like they enjoy doing it. It's not like they enjoy aggravating those horse players, even though in some other ways I think they do.
Well, let's shift away and get some of the recapping done, Johnny. The broader spectrum. And, of course, last week we were so focused on the Classic Division. When it came to this weekend's action, the Juveniles really took the stage, both short and long, turf and dirt. The Phillies and Mares had a big say-so. And we got quite a bit of European influence as well. And, in fact, there's even news. People that follow on Twitter would have seen that I sent along a Racing Post tweet that William Haggas has decided that Sea of Class is done for 2018. They're going to save her for her four-year-old year, so she will not come after that terrific performance in the Arc, where arguably she could have won. She will wait and bypass the Breeders' Cup. So Wild Illusion looks like a go for Godolphin, though, coming out of the Prix d'Opera. Some thoughts about the weekend otherwise, Johnny?
Well, since you mentioned the European racing over the weekend, by the way, these past 2 weekends have just been phenomenal watching and wagering weekends. The racing has been great, coast to coast. And now this past weekend, we got to go international with a morning session of racing from France on Arc Day. And I just have to, boy, say what a great job John Gosden did with Enable. And what a fantastic ride from Frankie Dettori. You know, she overcame so many obstacles to get to this point. She remains just an outstanding mare, and affiliate at four. But, you know, if I think Gosden didn't think he had her ready for this. And so the Tories' move to kind of kick away from the field and open up in the stretch, I think that was the winning move, clearly, because as you just mentioned, the outstanding finish from Cloth of Stars. What a great race she ran. What an awesome race he ran, coming from far back and just thundering home and just missing. Very entertaining race. And I don't know how you feel, Steve, but I'm getting the hang of the European racing. I'm getting the hang of watching it. Now, I don't follow it on a daily basis or even a weekly or a monthly basis, but I'm following the big events. I'm paying a little bit more attention to it, and I think the fact that it's been on, that Ascot was on NBC, also that we're starting to really cover what happens over there in depth. I'm starting to be able to watch it better. Before, it just kind of seemed like a mess, a pile of horses somewhere. But I'm kind of getting used to that style, and I'm able to pick horses out better now, and I'm enjoying it more. Do you feel that way? I mean, have you kind of felt, more involved in the
With all due respect, I didn't feel uninvolved all these years. I mean, I've been trying to report on it, and it started with Dubai, maybe a dozen years ago or more. And, then I started to weave the Ascot stuff in every opportunity we've had. Yeah, no,
Personally, when you watch the races, though, do you feel like, I mean, sometimes when I watch, it's the big field. I mean, that's a lot of it. It's the big field. And the announcers are, track announcers are picking off. And they're so, they are so good. And they're picking them off one by one. But I'm starting to actually, during the race, really able to pick out my horse. And that's more what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about following it.
Cause sure.
We've always followed Dubai. I mean, I think it's been, Dubai is more Americanized racing, North American style. I mean, I know they don't run the same. Yeah, it's more, I don't know, I've always felt more comfortable watching that racing than I have been watching European racing. Because sometimes they're going away from you, and then they turn and they come back, and it's tough to see what's going on for me. I just felt that way. I don't know if anybody else, but I really enjoyed Sunday. I really did. I enjoyed watching the races and certainly prepping for the Breeders' Cup. You want to watch these races. You know, most of them aren't coming over. They point to Arc Day, and some are going to go to Champions Day. Now the Champions Day has kind of sucked a little bit of action from the Breeders' Cup. But the ones that do come over, this way you'll have a better idea of maybe, if not even of them, of who they've been running with. And some of those names in the running line will make even more sense to you if you followed, you know, the European racing a little bit. So that's one of the reasons that I like watching it. Also because I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Wild Illusion, three-year-old filly, run a mile and a quarter on the turf. And it's also wild the way they throw three-year-old fillies in with males. And there was a two-year-old what race was that? I can't put my finger on it at the moment. And he almost won. I think it was a turf sprint. It was a short sprint. And I think he hit the board. But anyway, they're not afraid to do unconventional things, and sometimes they work out. And it really is. It's so different from what we do. The interviews with the trainers before the race, after the race, some of the depth that the trainers go into talking about the horses, I always find that interesting. The emphasis on the type of ground that they're running on always gets me. We brush against that. I think we're doing a little more of it now, probably European influence, but it's really important. And probably because a lot of our racing is on dirt too. There's different types of dirt, and maybe we ought to pay attention. I mean, we do pay attention to wet and fast, but that's always struck me as a huge difference. And I think Aiden O'Brien, did he take a collar? I think he did.
He may have. Yeah, I think you're right. And, yeah, I can't think of any.
Which to me is kind of notable. It's not like he didn't run anything. He ran a few horses there. And,
no, he did.
He's such a force there with his outfit. And, again, this is France. It's not England. He's a force anywhere he goes.
Well, there's a few that are intended, particularly in the juvenile, that will track, like that Gustav Klimt and Poly Dream in the Boussac, and they had some traffic issues and such, but there'll be plenty that show up. I'm confident you'll see the usual phalanx. How about the crazy story with Marty Schwartz with buying a horse on Thursday in the sale?
Yeah.
And then winning.
Lily's, and now I think headed to the Breeders' Cup, I think.
Oh, I would think. Sure, the Lily Lily's candle in the Lagardère.
Yeah. Amazing stuff that goes on, and this I thought not just in Europe, but I thought this weekend, last weekend, very entertaining races. You know, very challenging from a handicapping perspective. You know, and we're all looking forward to the Breeders' Cup, so we watch these races closely. And I think also because I get the feeling when I'm looking at this stuff approaching the Breeders' Cup, like the ratchet, things have been ratcheted up a little bit. Things have been cranked a little bit. Everybody is, you don't want to have your best race in the prep race, not the prep race either. I'm trying to get out of the habit of saying prep race for these races. You don't want to have your top performance in the race before the Breeders' Cup. You want to have a good, solid, forward-moving performance that gets the job done, or at least moves you forward. And if it's a win and you're in, you certainly would like to get that prize. But you don't want to have your horse fire the best shot this weekend. You want it to come, a month from now. So when you see some of these efforts, and it's very easy to look at the winner of any race and say, oh, that was an outstanding race. That was a solid race. That was a, yes, it was. But how does that fit in the overall picture of the next step, which is Breeders' Cup? So everybody, well, I say it's ratcheted up because the pressure, everybody's in a pressure cooker now. Following this weekend's results, the Bistaff, the handicappers are stuck now. What are you going to do with Abel Tasman? Because really, if she's on her game, she's she's strictly the one to beat. If she's not on her game, that throws the whole thing wide open. But if she's on her game, it's a totally different story. Well, she, what do we do with her? Now, okay, we've got workouts, we can look at, but still, how many times have we seen horses work? They look okay, but they're not altogether there. So that kind of a performance adds to your confusion in what already is a real mixed bag of handicapping. She's going to be a tough call.
Well, one of those scenarios where you just, he'll know. He'll how quickly she snaps out of it, and of course, as you always say, you don't. I mean, it's not Derby, but you don't want to miss a day of training. I mean, basically, you don't want any hiccups. You don't want to have to give a round of antibiotics. There's all kinds of things that that have negative lasting effect when you have those circumstances at these high stakes spots. I mean, especially a filly like her.
Exactly. And there's a few. You look at some of the other divisions. I mean, the sprint. I think Roy H's performance this weekend put him back in the thick of the game. Imperial Hint looks like he's fast, and then he goes faster. But you can't ever ignore a California sprinter, and he's a defending champ. So Roy H jumped back into the picture.
Yep.
in a pretty big way.
Agreed.
That kind of got more interesting. Yeah.
How about the two performances of the West Coast Turf Milers? Sharp Samurai, and an absolute thriller, and was actually, I thought Stevens was brilliant there. And then you had Baltus, who we're going to talk to this morning. Baltus' winner, Neck Shares, in the Shadwell.
Yeah. Yeah,
you were underwhelmed.
You
sound underwhelmed.
I am. I'm underwhelmed with our turf milers. I'm looking European in that spot, and that's not an unusual thing to do.
No,
I'm just not. I didn't think the feel was that great. But look, Baltus's horse Next Year's has come around and is sharp, and that's something else that you really like to see. Sharp horses who get good at the right time. Don't go to sleep on them at big prices in the Breeders' Cup. If a horse strings 2-3 wins together heading into the Breeders' Cup, that's, you know, and is winning by open ranks, you got to pay attention to it. But I just felt like, I feel like the depth there in the mile races has not been the way it's been before. I just don't feel like we have that much depth. I could be wrong. Sharp Samurai looked great. He was ready to do something solid, and he did it. You know, I have no knocks on him. Same thing with next year. No knocks at all. It's just that, I want to see something like, boom. And let's see who comes over from Europe. Maybe nobody good will come over, but that's where I'm leaning now. And again, this is something else that I often talk about. See, I like to form opinions now, leanings.
Sure.
You know, like I look at a division, I say, I'm leaning in this direction, I'm leaning in that direction. My advice is don't make any commitments to yourself at this point. Unless you see something that just knocks your socks off and you feel like this was magnificent, well, then you got to ask yourself the question, was it too magnificent?
Well, the one proviso that I'll throw out there when it comes to specifically to the mile, because it's funny. I mean, it's a race that it is, you know, historically dripping with class, particularly from the European winners. However, there has always been, and it seems that what I don't want to call them jump up winners, but you talk about upsetters. And, you know, horses like this, like Neck Shares and maybe a Sharp Samurai, and we'll see, they fall right into that category with the Kip DeVilles of the world and the Singletaries and the Miesque's Approvals. There's been others. I mean, even Northeast Bound, who got beat an absolute lip, it would have fit that criteria at 40-1, and War Chant in a heroic performance gets up as the favorite to win the photograph. But there has been no shortage of crazy, seemingly crazy mile winners. That's why you know, be aware. Yeah. And then you can also fold it into the turf with the likes of Little Mike, and you know, there's been those. You know, those types, but in the mile, it's always a race that is inviting chaos because of how it's run. It's run very roughly traditionally.
Exactly. It's a big field. You've got varied pace concerns. What's the old, is it the Alan Jerkins?
That's my line. Turf racing, where one horse wins and six should have.
Yeah. So you're going to get that in the turf. The Europeans come over. They're not used to the tight turns, the firm turf, the blah, 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 the pacing. So you got all that. Okay. It's a recipe for chaos. And you just pointed out some great occasions where that's happened. So, you establish opinions. But they're just leaning. You're just leaning one way or the other, and then you're going to sort it out when it all comes down to paper and you see who showed up and what post position everybody gets and what how they're going to go into the first turn at Churchill. Like, that's a wide open one. Anyway,
there's a lot of
great
eggs to break yet.
Yeah.
A lot of eggs. A lot of eggs.
Great wide open. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we touched on the Philly Mare turf. You know, geez, you have that California stat. What are they now, like 0-40? No Philly and Mare turf prepped in California has ever won the race, and I marvel at it every year. It's been a Breeders' Cup. Express Bet Breeders' Cup wagering guide stat for a decade, and it's continued to be true. How that is true, I don't know. You had trainers like Bobby Frankel, Charlie Whittingham, Ron McAnally, and you could go down the list. Richard Mandela, who trained turf fillies in California, none of them were able to win a Breeders' Cup filly in their turf. So now we've got Basilica. She looks sensational, and she just keeps looking sensational. What is it now? 7 in a row, I think. She had a neck defeat and won the race before that, so she would have been 9 in a row. And she's doing it. She doesn't look like she's taking she doesn't look like she's over the hill. She looks like she's still as strong as she ever was. Now, is she good enough to step up? Is it just that we're weak out there? Cambodia has been her main rival. Well, the water gets quite a bit deeper in the Breeders' Cup. So, again, you've got what I call the Chad Brown Brigade coming from New York. And let's see who comes from Europe. Wild Illusion. Going to make that an interesting group. But I like to stick with I'll mention the Express Bet Breeders' Cup wagering guide, which will be available. It's free to everyone. It'll be available Friday, October 26th. That's a full week in advance of the Breeders' Cup. We're going to cover every race. Experts will cover every race, and we'll have stats and trends in that guide. And it's a great way to kind of move your handicapping or ignite your serious handicapping for the Breeders' Cup. I know it's a week in advance. We've got updates. We're going to have Eddie Olczyk's going to jump in in the revised guide with his selections. And also, Brent Musburger is going to dive in with his selection. I don't know. I mean, everybody remembers Brent Musburger from, everybody of a certain age remembers Brent Musburger broadcasting football games and other sports. But he's been a racing fan for a very long time. I didn't know that until recently.
Well, and of course, can be heard right here as part of the Vegas Sports Information Network from the South Point and right here at SiriusXM. Exactly. Well, Johnny, it's now that time, and the advanced PPs are available for everybody as well. The working lists of horses, DRF brought them out on Friday, and you can start to thumb through. And I'm sure Brisnet will be there too, and Time Form, and whatever PP approach you use, Stats Racelens, etc., to start, comparing and, just to get a feel. This is a good time, now with the latest round of stakes behind us. Now you can start to just get familiar, and then you'll start to fine tune, and we'll help, and looking forward to it. Johnny, I appreciate it, and we'll talk next week.
You know what else? They're racing today at all these emporiums.
Yes, they are. That's it.
Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day.
That's right. That's although I did see where Columbus, Ohio has abandoned Columbus Day. Good for them. This is one of the.
Wait a minute. What's this now? Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio is not Columbus, Ohio. That used to have a parade. I guess I saw a note that Columbus is not going to celebrate Columbus.
I mean, the guy, yeah. What was the line? I think it was in Seinfeld. Was it about Columbus that he discovered America? And Jerry said, oh, like they were going to find it anyway?
Well,
I may have it all wrong, but something like that.
my favorite is from, I mentioned it the other day, from Quiz Show, where Herbie Stemple says to his son, is studying, and he says, they're Indians because some white guy got lost. thought he was in the Indies. Thought he was in India. Yeah, there's about maybe 7 ounces of truth to the Columbus story we were taught as kids. Yeah, it's not close.
Yeah, and then visiting Spain, I had a tour, visited Columbus's grave, his tomb, and his tomb is in a church. But it is raised off the ground. It's not on the ground. It's elevated. And the story that went along with it, I don't know if it's true or not. Don't hold me to it. But the guide said that Columbus was so upset at the whole thing. He was upset with Spain and everything. He said, "I'll never set foot in Spain again."
Interesting.
So they propped his casket up.
Interesting.
They brought him home,
to keep
but they propped him up.
To keep him off the ground. Very
interesting. Didn't want to make a liar out of him. And then also the background of why he was able to get those ships. A little hanky-panky going on, I understand.
For those that were told that Isabella sold her jewelry, that's inaccurate. Don't get me started.
Little hanky panky, Christy. Yeah, Christy boy. He was not only an explorer of other countries.
Oh boy, we're in uncharted waters, just like Columbus into the Caribbean. Johnny. Good luck today. There's plenty to keep you busy, and we got stakes, of course. We got the 2-year-old turf stakes in California. We've got turf sprint for fillies in New York, the Matron now, and the Knickerbocker as well. We'll talk about those with Mike Beer in just a little. But Tim Gleishaw is going to join us next, and all of Bloomington, Indiana, is standing by for Gleishaw's appearance. He'll be wearing red. Johnny, thanks.
Stevie, thank you. And it'll be a matter of days before we're complaining about how difficult the magnifier is.
That's right. I got you saying magnified. Good job.
I know.
Back after this with Timmy Gleishaw next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.